Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. Thank you so very much for your patience and standing by with us this evening. I tell you, anyone that's done live radio or television, it's not always easy. And even up until the very few seconds, you can run into some difficulty, as we did tonight. But nevertheless, we're faithful, and we're just so grateful that we're able to actually get through. Tonight, we got a very good show for you planned, and I trust that you all will stay tuned with us as we bring you the show this evening. Just before I get started, I want to go ahead and let you know that I have a book out. It's called After the Passion, Now What? You can certainly get more information on it at my website at drjessewalker.com. So I encourage you to do that. It makes a good holiday gift, and it's on sale right now. We also have the spiritual biweekly publication. It was launched for weekly. Now it's going to be a biweekly publication, give people an opportunity to get involved more with the activities. It's only $5 a month. That's right, actually $4.95 for an entire month, and you get it every 2 weeks when it has activities to give you some provocative thinking, way of thinking when it comes to perhaps spiritual matters and practical matters for that reason. So go to my website online at drjessewalker.com and take a look. We're going to momentarily bring in the author, Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, in just about less than 30 seconds. We'll bring her in, and I believe she's traveling, so she will be able to tell you a little bit about where she is and some new information that she's bringing forward to us, and we're so delighted and excited to hear about that as well. All right, without further delay, why don't we do that now? We're going to go ahead and bring in Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself. Ms. Blake, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi, we trust
Hello?
That you're doing well. Thank you for joining us. Ms. Blake?
Oh, great. Are you able to hear me?
I am. I'm able to hear you. I trust you can hear me as
awesome.
Well.
Awesome. I am actually in the great state of South Carolina, which is my home state. Not my birth state, but it is my home state for the holidays. So I'm glad to be able to continue to co-host the show from this remote location.
Oh, great. I am so excited about that, and we welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Why don't you tell them about your book, Fall in Love with Me, and then go on to the new edition. You've given birth to a new book. And tell
sure.
Our
again, as you mentioned, I'm the author of Falling in Love with Me, and you can Google it or go to my website, fosteringleaders.org, to read an excerpt of that book. But my newest and most exciting release is an e-book that has come out first as an e-book. So I encourage everybody to be the first to get the e-book. Don't wait on a hard copy. The hard copy will come sometime in 2014. But be in the know. There's been a lot of buzz about this book, and it's called Dying to Wake Up. It's a novel, a 244-page plus novel, and it's priced for the holidays at just $2.99. So if you go to Amazon.com, you can download it. And I guess that's about it. now, besides being a life coach and having the honor of co-hosting this show, that's about it for tonight's commercial.
Okay, awesome. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the story momentarily, and we're going to ask you to stand by on that. Please stay with us as we bring you that.
Okay, do we have our special guest tonight, or is our still, the special guest still on
queue? Yes, we're going to have our featured guest, Mr. Rick Malone. He's going to be joining us tonight as well. Let me go ahead and bring him in at this time. Mr. Rich, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Dr. Walker. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we certainly look forward to your contribution tonight. Thank you so very much for your last week's input. And the producers have rescheduled. They're going to have your show not next week, but following week if you're available for that show. Is that okay?
Say again, please.
The producers are going to have rescheduled the part two of the show that you did for us on last week. They're going to go ahead and do it on a week from next Tuesday, if that's good with you.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. I want to go ahead at this time and say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and all of that good stuff. I want to say that to all of my listening audience around the world, and I trust that you all who celebrate the season, that you're with loved ones and doing that, whatever it is that you want to do tonight. Let's get right to the story, if we may. Rick, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? We'll give you an opportunity to give your commercial.
Well, thank you very much. First, I want to be thankful and grateful to you, Dr. Walker, and to you, Ms. Audrey Blake, for having me back on the show. I truly am humbled that you find me worthy to be back on the show. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that.
We appreciate you. Thank you for that.
Yes, we're glad to have you back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So now to go to the commercial?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I am partners with an amazing CEO. Her name is Shanita Hunt. She is the CEO of Rolls Royce Entertainment, Inc., which is a full entertainment company. It's sort of reminiscent of the old Motown model of basically being able to do everything and being self-contained. The wonderful thing, and first and foremost, is that we are singer-songwriters. Basically, she does all the singing, and we work on the songwriting together. But the reality is that she is an unbelievable talented individual, especially an incredible musician and vocalist, and basically she's probably the best voice you haven't heard yet. But believe me, she's on the way. So I'm partners with her in that endeavor. We also have a CD coming out. Our CD should be out by February. So if you purchase the CD and maybe add a little chocolate and a little Grand Marnier, that would be a great way to start an evening. I don't know if that's one of the things that you'd like to do, but I think the CD would be a great start for that evening. I'm also a partner with Mr. Edwin Shepherd in Blooming Rose Production, which is basically a production company that puts on Real Talk, Real People. He has Real Talk, Real People here in Miami and as well as in Atlanta. We recently launched Real Talk, Real People in Atlanta, which is a discussion forum for people of the community to sit down and actually discuss provocative subjects and try to come out with workable, practical solutions. But the first and most important part of it is for us to have dialogue with each other and not at each other. He's also partners with Jerris Quick.
Okay. All right. Well, great. When is the CD coming out?
The CD should be out no later than February. Actually, we are now in the mastering phase of it at this moment. So we've just got a few things that we're going to tweak. We want to make it as good as possible. Actually, I know we can never have perfection, but that's what we seek in every endeavor.
Okay. All right, great. We're going to get ready to go live now to the story for this evening. Are you all ready for this?
We are.
Okay. All right, let's go right to the story. And we want to thank all of our listening audience for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answer that may prove beneficial to your relationship. Now, of course, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions that are expressed in my programming tonight does not necessarily replace the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. Now, the information presented on tonight's broadcast is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, the story we start with, the characters are Greg and Henrietta. Greg and Henrietta. Greg and Henrietta have been married for just over 7 years and have experienced a wonderful life. Greg and Henrietta have been married for just over 7 years and have experienced a wonderful life and lifestyle, in spite of the fact that they're not what you would call your traditional or fundamental religious people. Yes, they attend church and try to be good people, but they live their lives without thinking much about other people and the welfare of other people, in fact. They figure since they are doing well in life, it's up to everyone else to determine their own fate in life and not expect anything from anyone. Their motto is, go get it for yourself. Recently, as Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday seasons approach, they are starting to have somewhat of a change in heart. They are now talking about donating at least $10 each to a noted charity. Between the two of them, they make over $60,000 each annually and appear to be quite tight. They have two small children and really are only concerned about their family. They do not appear to have any emotional attachment to humanity except for looking out for each other. By the way, they return a tithe and offering of about 1% of their net salary and clearly believe that 10% is entirely too much. Now, the questions are that we start off with tonight, and I'll start with one. Do you think they're both stingy? Number two, do you think they have it right in terms of their way of thinking? Go get it for yourself. Question three, what if the world thought the way they think? Question four, what would Christ do to improve the world if he were on earth? This and much more coming up tonight with our topic being for the sake of the season. Are you doing good only because it's the season? Please stay tuned. Let me start out with Ms. Blake. We talk about Greg and Henrietta. Now, this is a couple that make over $60,000 each apiece annually. And they're going to, you know, for the first time in, I guess, their 7 years of marriage, they have decided that, you know what, let's give $10 apiece to a charitable organization. And then on top of that, they pay a return about a 1% in tithe and offer. Do you think that they're stingy, Ms. Blake? I mean, after all, is it their money?
Well, yes, a couple of questions, Dr. Walker. First of all, they are probably a little selfish and may not realize it. And I do want to say that, you know, finances is a very relative thing. You know, to some people, $60,000 is a lot. To some people, it's not much. So it just depends on your perspective. But I personally feel that no matter what we have, we should try to give something back. I think that they may be missing the boat on the part about giving back.
Okay. All right. Let me go to the phone lines quickly here. We've got several callers, and then we'll come to Ms. Rich. If you want to speak to the issue, please press 1 so we can come to you. And we're going to ask everybody to be brief so we can get this thing going. We're going to go to 954-226. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. What do you think? Do you think they're stingy? I mean, $10 apiece for the first time in 7 years?
Oh, I think that they just don't like giving. I think so. I mean, it seems like they're doing really well and they're only concerned with themselves and their children. I think they're a little bit stingy. They might be a little bit selfish. And I think then, you know, because no matter what, you know, there are so many people that are doing worse off than you are, and you should always try to give back something, no matter how small it might be. Okay, they started giving $10 a piece, you know, but if they can afford it and seem like they can, you know, they can help out a little bit more.
Okay, thank you for that comment, Rose. We're going to try to go to as many as we possibly can. Ms. Rich, we'll come to you in a minute. We're going to go to 305 1-800-273-7733. Thank you. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show live. Who do we have with us? 305-733, you're on the air live. Who do we have with us this evening? Okay, maybe we've got some technical difficulties there. Why don't we go now to 305-621. Thank you, you're on the air live. 305-621.
Sylvie,
thank you for joining us. Sylvie, here's a couple with making all of this money. Do you think they're stingy?
Something is wrong. I think it's selfishness, that they feel that they don't need anyone and they don't care about anyone else's situation because they are not in need, and they feel they may never be in want or in need, so they just don't care. I think it's they don't care. They're selfish.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is they're doing this just because it's Christmas and to donate $10. I mean, isn't it their money? Can't they do what they want with it?
Yes, it's their money, but the world is not can't go around like that. If everyone else in the world would act like that, nothing would take place. Everything would become stagnant. The world goes around by giving and getting and helping and being helped. So
okay.
I think they're missing an important point in life, which is you are blessed in order to bless others and to improve yourself. And in improving yourself, you help improve others too. You bless others also. It doesn't mean they have to take a whole lot of their money and just give it away to people and things. But they can help. They can help, I think, better than that $10. But it's a start.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We'll try to come back to you momentarily. Let's go to 919-875 and get your quick comments on that. Who do we have on the air with us this evening? 919-875.
Gloria,
thank you for joining us. Gloria, thank you for joining us this evening. Is there money? Do you think that there are other people out there like Greg and Henrietta that aren't concerned about humanity, other people, you know, go get it for yourself, that type of attitude, except during the holidays?
Yes, there are people like that all over the world with lots of money, could never spend it all in a lifetime. But, you know, I agree with Sylvia said about it's their money, they can do what they want to do with it. But, you know, if you don't have the heart of Christ, you will be like that. And there are so many people out there that are not like that, that would take them that what they have, their last dime, and give it to somebody else. So we have a world that we live in that there's no love, there's nothing in it. So that's pleasing in God's sight. But, you know, there are some people that will give.
Okay.
So
I feel like... Go ahead, Gloria.
No, you go ahead. It's okay.
No. You feel like what? You were about to say something.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like it's such a selfish, cold-hearted world out here. You know, very selfish. And, you know, the Lord said at the end time that it will become like this. There are people out there that have a lot of money and could never spend it in their lifetime, like I said. And, you know, so what do?
Okay.
You can't make people spend their money.
Right. We're going to ask you to stand back, Gloria, get your comments. Let's go back to 305-733 just before we go to phone lines, and then we're going to go to one or two people, then we're going to go to Mr. Ritz, get his thoughts on that. You're 305-733. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Welcome.
Welcome
yourself. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, what's your name? What's your name, please?
This is Stephanie.
Stephanie, thank you
How
for
are
joining
you,
us.
Dr. Walker?
We're doing great. Thank you for joining us on tonight's broadcast. Stephanie, let me ask you, do you think people get caught up into just giving because it's the season. I mean, it's like, you know, the camaraderie of it's the holiday season. Let me do something good for somebody once in a while. Like Greg and Henrietta are saying, they're giving $10.
I think there are a lot of people who think like Henrietta and Greg, but then I think that there are more people that are generous and that they give all year. They don't wait on the season to give. I think that they're constantly giving, be it to family members or to their church or to friends. So I think it's just as many people that give versus just as many people that don't give. And like Gloria said, I mean, it's your money. You do what you want. However, I think more people, I see more people are willing now to give than there have been before.
Okay. All right. Stanley, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to Erico 205. We're going to go 205-908. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, and thank you for being a part of the show this evening. Jack, what do you think? Do you agree with what Stephanie said? She said that generally she thinks that there are more people now giving all year round as opposed to just during the holidays. I don't know if I subscribe to that. What are your thoughts, Jack?
I don't know if I subscribe to that either. I do know that people give based on how they feel and how they were raised. I think people give. Sometimes they give for a reason. They may give because they've made too much money and they need to write it off as a charity, in a charity bracket or whatever. But I think as a whole, what we need to do as people, we're always going to have the poor with us. There are always going to be people out there that are destitute. So if the Bible has already shared with us what we should do about the poor, we're always going to have the poor, so we're always supposed to be there to assist them in any way that we can, and that means financially, because this is not ours to begin with. And then we start giving after that point, after we returned faithful tithing, and then we're to always help the poor. It's not just the church that we're helping, but we're helping other people as well. As far as the number of people out there, everybody doesn't feel that way, everybody doesn't do that, but that's what's been dictated basically to us from a biblical standpoint.
Okay. Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by with your thoughts. We're going to go to the phone lines some more. Let me go to 863-412. Welcome to the show this evening. Who do we have on the air with us?
We have Dennis on the air.
Dennis on the air. Thank you for joining us. Dennis, do you think that Stephanie was on point when she said, generally speaking, there are more people that are probably giving? Jack and I tend to not subscribe to that notion necessarily because I would think that if there were, perhaps the world might be in a better situation than it is.
Now, there are a lot of people that give, but when you have people who are, say, selfish and negative or one or the other, it does affect those that give because they're coming up with reasons why they don't give. And they make sometimes it seems like a valid point, but they're holding on to money, just like the couple is only giving $10. $10, they waste more than $10, but they feel comfortable giving something, not looking bad, giving nothing.
Okay.
It's where you're giving free of heart because you want to help. When it's 50-50, then there's 50% of the people not giving, and then that number has a tendency to grow.
Okay.
So it's a thing that people have to step up. And
okay. Yeah. All right, Dennis, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to and hold those comments because we're going to try to come back to you. Let me go to Mr. Rich here. I mean, is there anything different that we might be thinking about or we have not thought about in terms of Greg and Henrietta? Because, I mean, can't they do really what they want to do?
Well, I take my hat off to the person who came up with the question because the question is very clever, and I like the way you're asking it because it's really a trap. You're putting somebody in a hole that they're going to bury themselves. If all these people really paid attention to the question, they should not have even answered, because the reality is we don't know what's going on in Henrietta's and Greg's life. And more importantly, if you listen to the story, it's after 7 years they decide to actually start to do something. Seven is the number of completion. You see it in the Bible. Seven is also the year of Jubilee, means forgiveness of all debt. We don't know how the mystery of God is working on them right now. That $10 right now could change the way they look at the world for the rest of their lives. But we're sitting here saying, well, they should give more. We don't have any right to discuss what somebody else does with their money when they decide to move forward. That's a God arena, and I think we're overstepping our boundaries by even trying to say that they're selfish. We don't know that. We don't know what's going on. All we know is that, hey, they're doing well. They feel they got to do things for themselves, being they're dedicated to their family. But the reality is they're moving forward and doing something now, and that's what I would rather focus on.
All right, let me, before I go to my co-host, let me go to Sylvia a moment. Sylvia, in response to what Richard said here now, that we may be overstepping our bounds. They're giving something better than nothing. This is a start, 7 years, Jubilee. If they were really the people that go to church and they looked at the 10% giving, returning a tithe, a faithful tithe, is Rich anywhere on point? Do you agree or disagree? If so, why or why not?
Well, in ending, if you listen and end in my little statement, I did say at least it's a start. It started,
right.
And you never know where it can go from there. When it comes to this church and tithe giving and 10% or 1%, it's not left up to us. That is a decision and a choice that the person make depending on their relationship with God. Because
uh-huh.
if they have a good relationship, they would want to give more. When you're in love with somebody, you want to give more. You want to give and give and give more. So it all depends on their relationship. And probably the 1% might grow into 5 and then 6, and then they get up to the 10%. Like I said, it's a start.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Blake, go ahead. Give us your thoughts. And then we're going to
I'm trying to stay focused and keep us focused on the story. And part of what the story said was they're now talking about donating at least $10 to a noted charity that each made over $60,000. I kind of focused on that, and I started out by talking about the fact that to some people $60,000 is a lot, to others $60,000 really isn't much. That's number one. I definitely agree with Rich that we have to be really careful when we start, passing judgment and putting our opinions on, because, first of all, people as a whole, and I'll make this quick, they tend to live up to what they're making, unfortunately. Not everybody, but a great deal of people do that. And so the more they make, the more their lifestyle, the more they spend. This couple has to have a philosophy change. Everybody's not at that point. And, you know, people get there gradually. Some people have never really heard of giving back. And I'm not even talking about tithing. I'm just talking about giving back to your community. So I just think we need to be real careful before we judge these folks, because something's beginning to work in their hearts and their sense of giving back is starting. And so just, you know, what's a lot to one person is not much to another.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines again. We're going to ask everybody to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also listen live at drjessewalker.com. And you can catch this show in its entirety 15 minutes after the airing. We're going to go now to 407-272. You're on the air live. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us? 407-272. All right, perhaps they'll come back. Let's go back to 305-733. Let's go back to Stephanie. Stephanie, are you with us? Okay, you mentioned earlier about more people are generally giving now, and Jack and I don't necessarily subscribe to that. But when you think that if people, do you think that people get have a tendency to give more during the holiday season, like Christmas, because they're feeling maybe Christ-like.
I agree with that. They give more during the holiday season. However, I feel like people are giving more because whether it be to a charity organization or to individual families, what I do see a lot less now is people really pouring all their money into churches like they used to. However, a lot of people are more saying they would rather give to a family or someone that in need. And when I said what I said earlier, I stayed away from the judgment because I don't know, like the young lady said, I don't know what's in the heart of the two couples. So I didn't say they need to give more or they need to give less. My whole thing with the whole story was that if they gave, it was better than nothing.
And Dr. Walker, as your co-host, I definitely, Stephanie, I think you're really on point. I agree with Stephanie about more people are giving.
They are.
And what I mean by that is you're seeing a lot of national disasters that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing people unemployed and it's hitting home. And people who normally didn't have to worry about bills starting to know what that feels like. And so people are being more compassionate.
I think so. I mean, I don't know if you and Jack feel like maybe that you don't see it, but Jack made a good point when he talked about the Bible saying the poor will always be among us. If that is the case, it doesn't matter how much we give, the poor will always be with us.
The poor people.
They'll right, always be
Jack
with us.
Jack, Stephanie has said here, if that be the case, the poor is going to always be with us. It doesn't matter how much you give, the poor is going to still be there. So,
I agree with what she's saying. I was just quoting what the Bible says, and then I was also going to comment on the fact that I agree with the young man Richard or whatever his name is about the and I can't disagree. I don't pass judgment on anybody. And as I mentioned in my opening statement, I say people basically give as they feel. They may not feel that to give 10%, they may feel they need to give 5%. They may need to give 1%. But that's what I understood from the story that you were telling, that they only gave 1%. And gradually it can increase. But my thing is that we do have poor people. We do have poor. It's what the Bible has described for us to do, to always help those that are in need, those that are destitute and all. So, and as someone said earlier, they may not be giving to the organization that you want them to give. They may not be giving to the church, but they may be giving to other families that are in need. They may be giving to people that are overseas. They may be giving to people here in the country. So we don't know, so we can't make that judgment call. That's them. They give as they feel. They give as they see it, the need.
Jack, that's absolutely right. And the other thing is, again, there were two points in this story, as Dr. Walker has stated. One dealt with the 1% for the tithing piece, but the other part was the charitable giving. And I think, those are two separate things in my head.
Dr. Walker?
Right. Yes, go ahead.
Dr. Walker, I take umbrage with the statement that the poor will always be among us, because what I'm hearing, which I don't agree, is that I don't believe when you're talking poor, I think what is referenced more to is a state of mind as opposed to a condition, a physical condition, because you can't say that we can't have places for the homeless when we have golf courses. So you can't tell me we can't build homes on those pieces of property. So I think it's more of a state of mind, and I do agree with Stephanie and Audrey about the fact that people are becoming more giving, but I think what's happening now is a revolution of our thought process. We're starting to understand, because of what has gone on in the economy, that we may not need as much, and in that case, because we don't need as much, we're now in a position to give more. And I think that's what's happening.
Okay. And of course, we're all expressing our opinions on here, respectfully so, which means we can agree to disagree. And on that notion, I tend to agree with, my interpretation of the poor shall always be among us, I don't see that necessarily as a state of mind. I see that, in fact, this is, of course, my opinion, as a condition. I mean, you've got people that are poor In America, we may have golf courses and Europe and certain other parts of the country, but countries that are developing or third world countries, they may sometimes often be referred to. You have poor people that don't have, they may have a mindset to dream big, but because of environmental conditions, because of conditions that may have systemically been placed out there, they can only dream big, and that's their life. They're just poor because they don't have that opportunity that some people may have in other countries. Let me go to Jack just for a moment. Jack, what are your thoughts? Do you think that it's a state of mind or a condition?
I think it's a condition. I definitely agree with the state of mind because if I'm poor, I'm poor. If I don't have food to eat, I don't have food to eat. If I don't have a place to stay, I don't have a stay. So it's not a state of mind. I'm in that condition at all. In my line of work, I deal with this every single day. So I see people and I hear people telling me how destitute they are. We don't have to go overseas necessarily. We have people here in America, to be more exact, in Atlanta, in Miami, too. I mean, all over the place, people are destitute. And they need some type of assistance. But in fact, we need to help them in other regards as well, not just with financial. We need to help them with trying to find a job. We need to help them with education. We need to help with many different things. And this is the type of a lot of work that I'm in. So I see this every single day. So when we say a state of mind, I think that's far-fetched.
Okay. All right. Let me go to Sylvie. Sylvie, let's go back to you. Then we'll go to my co-host. Sylvie, what do you think about the notion of state of mind versus condition when it comes to that statement, the poor shall always be among you?
I don't think it's so much a state of mind. I don't think anybody wants to be homeless. Anybody wants to be begging. I don't think so, but we have to think of circumstances. Things happen, and you can be doing well today, and some things happen, some circumstances come into your life, and by tomorrow you're on the street, you're homeless, and you're begging. It's not because of a state of mind. I think it's more circumstantial. I don't believe that those people on the street out there sleeping on the street and begging, they really want to do that. There are circumstances that, and some of them don't have as much willpower to get up and start again. They have a devastating blow and it threw them out and they just stay where they are. And in that case, it would be like a state of mind, but it didn't start like that. It's circumstances. It's a condition because the way things are these days, anybody could be homeless at any time if you didn't really plan well. Sometimes you plan as much as you can and things still happen, broken homes, things like that. And people fall from up there to down there, and some of them have the will to start again and some don't have the will to start again. Or the help from friends and family or the encouragement to go on, to pick up yourself and go on. Some people don't have that.
Okay. All right. Good point. We appreciate all the comments that are coming in, whether we agree or disagree. We certainly appreciate your comments because someone out there may benefit. I'm certain. I am certain of it. Someone who's listening from around the world will benefit from the information that's presented on tonight's broadcast. Let me go to Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, just before we go to Stephanie again, let me ask you, what in line with the story, and we're talking about, are you, for the sake of the season, giving for the sake of the season, doing good for the sake of the season, why is it that, in your opinion, perhaps, why is it that people don't do more during the course of the year? I mean, all year round, like, okay, let me give more money. Let me give to this homeless person, like Sylvie said. Why is it that that's not happening, in your opinion? Ms. Lane?
Dr. Walker?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Were you asking that, addressing that to me?
Yes.
Okay, I apologize. I think that people are giving more. I still stand by that. But this time of year, there is a promotional push. You know, we, whether we admit it or not, are very governed by what we see on TV and the media. And so there's a lot of emphasis placed on giving, you know, from about Thanksgiving all the way through the new year. But the homeless, the poor, children in need, these charities are always with us, and we should give all year round, but people feel a little bit more compelled. And I also think it's for tax purposes for some people.
Okay, that was mentioned. Just before we go to Rich momentarily, we're going to go back to Stephanie. Stephanie, mm-hmm. just before we go to Rich and then to some of the comments that are coming in, I mean, could we do more? Could we really do more to reach out to, and Jack said you don't have to go abroad, just right here in America. You've got people that he's dealing with on a daily basis because that's his job. What happens when people don't want to take, and we're going to go to Jack for that one momentarily, don't want to take the advice that you may be giving them to change their condition to go from a conditional situation to a state of mind? What may happen in a situation like that? Give me your thoughts.
Well, I would hope, I would hope that a state of mind is not even the issue here. I think it's more conditional, at least that's how I see it. I mean, I'm sure that there are people out there that it is for them a state of mind, but I don't think it's the majority. I think a lot of people are suffering these days, be it economical and, you know, not to mention, you know, other things, personal things that may be going on in their lives. And I think we're all dealing with so much. So, you know, I just think that personally that it's more physical and that it's a physical condition and people just basically, it's just hard right now. It's hard. And
okay. And go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And I just think that people are, you know, you got, I'm sure Jack in his position, he knows a lot of people that are in need and people that are destitute. And, of course, I work with elementary school students. I work in the inner city. However, when I think of need, I don't think of need as in homeless, as in, because, you know, you got these kids here, but they eat free. They have all the resources they need that are free, and yet still they rock the latest name brand clothes. So I don't see the real need here in America so much as probably other places, because you got welfare, you got systems in America, you got things that are resources in America that you don't have in other countries. I mean, I've been to Haiti more than, because my husband is Haitian, so I know where a need is, and I've seen a need over there, and I don't really see the need over here too much in America. But then again, I don't work with really poor, I don't work with the sheltered children, and I know that their kids living in shelter, their families, and I know that people lose jobs. Like Sylvia said, you could be up today and down tomorrow, but I just think America does have the resources. You can get immediate emergency welfare tomorrow if you need it, or you can get housing, you can get government assistance, you can get all that. However, you know, it can be a state of mind for some, but some I do believe it's a physical condition.
All right. Jack, we're going to ask you to speak to that just briefly, if you would. I've traveled quite a bit abroad, and I've seen situations that, unlike America, where Stephanie is mentioning, you can get immediate assistance. I mean, it may not be
in America.
You may want to have a steak, you know, for dinner, but you know, you're not going to get the steak. You're more than likely get maybe some peanut butter and some cheese, some bread, but you'll still be filled. But in other parts of the world, where just like 70 mentioned Haiti, I've been to some of those parts of the world, and there's no system in place where they can even get the cheese and the peanut butter and the bread. And they're clearly out there, you know, begging. So Jack, speak to that issue just before we go on.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that as far as the resources availability here in America, you're presidents have kind of like changed that. Back in 1996, they changed the welfare program altogether. I mean, totally. You can only be on welfare for 5 years, and they're moving everybody to be self-sufficient off of welfare, off of food stamps. So even though we may think, because I used to think that way too, that everything is so readily available for us, it's not that readily available for us. People who are actually disabled, they are turned down like two or three times before they actually get it. They're cutting food stamps. They don't even have Section 8 now in many of the districts and all. And even in public housing, you have to be put on a waiting list. I don't care how destitute you are. You may be given not a voucher, but you may be given some money to rent a room for maybe like two or three days. But after that, you're back on your own. So everything is not to your fingertips as you would think like it used to be, because your Republican president, it changed a lot. It changed it totally, I mean, all together. And I didn't know this until recently, that a lot of things were changing. All. So everything is not as definitive like you think. And like you say, over in Haiti and other places and all, it's not readily available. It's not that readily available here, unless you're down there in Miami where you got those people that don't look like us. And you know what I'm talking about. Huh? But it's not that readily available is what I'm saying, basically.
Okay. All right, let's go to Rich. Rich, give us your brief thoughts. We're running out of time here. And we do, producers are warning me that we must go to some of the comments that are coming in.
Okay, well, Dr. Walker, Audrey, I'm Haitian. I'm a veteran. I've spent 2 weeks in my car because I didn't know where I was going to live and what I was going to do, even though I was in a place where I had friends and family. And I still stand by this thought that unless we can help change the mindset of people, I don't care whether they're in a Section 8 or they're in a mansion, poor is always going to be a state of mind because you're going to behave in a very selfish way. And that's the point I was trying to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Let's take
point
some
well
of the comments. Ms. Blake, did you want to make a comment before we move
on? I just
on?
Said point well taken. I agree.
Okay. All right. Let me go to some of the comments that have come in relative to tonight's broadcast. For the sake of the season, are you doing good only because it's the season? This male writes in, he says, I'm very thankful for tonight's topic because I feel it is time someone put it out there that some people are only doing good things because it is Christmas. Let me go and ask, let me go here now and ask Sylvie to weigh in on that comment. Are they close to being on track? Some people are only doing good because it is season though?
Well, I believe even though they're doing it just because it's a season, it's still better than not doing anything at all.
I agree.
Okay.
And I wanted to go back to what Jack said, that I agree with him that these government helps, they are not readily available. So some they are, but to a whole lot more they are not. And I kind of blame the government a lot, too, for the way things are.
Right,
because
I agree.
If a mother is on welfare and she gets a little job that paying her a minimum wage, the government would cut off the welfare instead of using that as a crutch to build this person to get back on their feet. They cut off the help, so that mother goes right back down again.
Mm-hmm.
So the government helps to promote these situations.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get food stamps also, you have to have an address. If you don't have an address, you cannot get help. So the government is feeding into this also and is creating a lot of these poverty that's going around here. I believe that. That's what I believe. Because they're,
okay.
Instead of assisting, they are just, I don't know what to say, but I believe that the government is helping to prolong these poverty situations. Because, like I said, with the mother, if she thinks, people think they get a little job to help themselves and they would lose their assistance.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And it would put them in a worse situation. They would stay on the assistance. They would not go and get the job.
Well, I agree with you also, Sylvia, because I know people that, you know, at times when I'm at work and I'm joking and saying things like, I would better off be on welfare than to be here working because it seemed like I could get more assistance if I don't work or if I work 15 hours a week and still able to get welfare and get whatever assistance. However, now think about those people who are receiving that. Are those people, and going back to the man with the comment, the state of mind, do those people normally give, or do they constantly wait on you to give even during this season? I mean, think about all the people that are out there that are getting some public assistance or some help. What do they do, those people, during the season? Do they say, let me go and find a poor family to help them out, like someone has helped me? What do they do during this season? Do they give?
Dr. Walker.
Uh-huh. That's a very good point, Stephanie.
Because
what do you
they
think?
They have the means to give. They have the means
right.
to give. Do they pick up their little bit of money and say, you know what, somebody has helped me all year, or my kids go to school free, they eat free, they get free books. Let me go see if I can find a family and maybe sponsor them. And it goes back to the man who said maybe it is a state of mind for some people.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it is.
Okay. All right. Ms. Blake, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
I think you hear your co-host over here. Yeah, I understand. But I guess speaking as someone very quickly who's been has worked in state government for over 28 years and no longer there, they don't get a lot of help. That is a fallacy that people have. Your average client is not your young black mother. That's another fallacy.
Yes.
I forgot the other lady name, maybe Sylvia was right on point, though. The more income you make, it does decrease your benefit.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is, and I think what some of us may have been saying earlier, and I believe Stephanie may have been one of those that said it, and this is how I kind of believe, having traveled to a number of other countries outside of America, that at least America has a system in place that even if it's only 4 or 5 years, you're getting something.
You still get something.
There are a great percentage of people that also fall through the cracks that really still don't qualify, and these are your hidden people who make too much, or they may own some property or something that's stopping them from qualifying, but they can't live. So you'd be surprised at who your homeless population is.
Well, it probably wouldn't surprise me, but the fact of the matter is you can maybe travel throughout America somewhere. If you can just find a means to what they call it when summer ride to get somewhere. You can get to a soup kitchen, but now let me ask you a question. How many soup kitchens are there in other developing countries like Africa, Haiti, Cambodia? 70, do you know, have you ever known of a soup kitchen in Haiti? And we're going to ask Rich this because he's from Haiti. But 70, in your travels to Haiti, have you seen a soup kitchen?
No, but I'm almost sure they have something. But they don't have something they don't have something as flamboyant as America. We got Camilla's House here.
Right.
We got the Miami Mission Rescue. Fort Lauderdale has a lot of places you can go to. Listen,
that's
on Thanksgiving and
also.
Christmas, I'm almost certain shouldn't be anybody in South Florida. I'm just speaking for South Florida alone. Shouldn't be anybody in South Florida should go without a meal on Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Or any other time of the any other day. Because
I tend to agree with that. I do. I tend to agree with that. We're running out of time. They're telling me we got 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and that's counting. Rich, just quickly, 15 seconds or less. Soup kitchens. I mean, when you think in Haiti, have you lived in – you were born in Haiti. Have you lived in America for a large percentage of your life?
Actually, I was born in the Bahamas. My parents are Haitian. And I've lived in Miami most of my life, and I have traveled in Haiti. And, yes, they do have places where you can go get something to eat. The only thing is, unfortunately, like anything else that you see, you only get the very worst pictures of any developing country.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Bad.
Okay.
All right,
Jack, let me go to you real quick, and we got to take some more of the comments. They're telling me we got to get to these comments. Jack, just quickly, the pictures that I see of developing countries where the children are, it's almost like a parasite situation where the body's eating from itself. Am I seeing something false? Is this just probably the worst to appeal to my emotion to make a donation? Or is this real, Jack, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, it's real because I see how the kids, how they look, their body, you know, and all, you know, how the body is looking. Like they're stuffing
right.
from the mouth, you know. So I really feel that it's legit, and I think that we need to do what we need to do. Now, can I just back up just one quick second? I just wanted to mention
yes.
about dealing with people every single day and all. And I do see in some cases it is a state of mind because they feel that they can't
mm-hmm.
do anything. They can't do any better than that. So
mm-hmm.
that's a state of mind because they just can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with some of it. It is a state of mind in some situations.
All right. Let me go to Gloria. Let me see if Gloria's still online with us. Gloria, are you still with us? All right, perhaps not. Let's try to,
yes.
let me identify.
I'm here.
Oh, she's
all right,
here.
Gloria, did you have something you wanted to say about anything that we've spoken about or any of the, one of the comments that have come in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that people are hungry all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said in different states and maybe, but people are hungry everywhere. There are, you have the elderly, they have to look out because the money we get is nothing much. And it's not a whole lot for some of us. A lot of people are hungry. I see it here every day. There was a family here, it's just a mother and a daughter. And they're from maybe Pakistan or somewhere. These people had no food last Christmas. You know, I went out and bought turkey and different stuff for them and took it to them, and they still don't know this day I did that because it's not that you give to be recognized.
That's
and
right.
This day they
That's
don't
true.
Know. But still, there are people everywhere, old and young, still that needs help
mm-hmm.
all over this country. And I think we would be better off if we did better in
mm-hmm.
supporting and helping these people as much as we can.
All right.
And let me ask you, Gloria, do you think that we should just do what you did, basically, and just give, like go, I mean, like you didn't want to be recognized, but you went and just gave. I like that more so now, Miss Gloria, than anything. I prefer
mm-hmm.
to give to people that are in need. Like now, I personally,
yeah.
I'm not big on giving to churches anymore because I see the
no.
stuff that they use the money with. It's just wasting time. It's just a waste.
I believe that too. I don't believe
right.
in giving money to these organizations. I really don't.
All right. We are running out of time. Let me try to take one more comment. We have several comments, and it looks like we're going to do a portion of this show next week. This lady writes in, she says, in reference to tonight's show, for the sake of the season, are you doing good only because it's the season? She says, I honestly feel that we should be doing good things all year round instead of just during the holiday season. I think that we all pretty much agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 40 seconds left before the show comes to a close. I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank all of my listening audience around the world. I want to thank all of those that made contributions to tonight's broadcast. Those of you all that we were not able to get to on tonight's broadcast, we do certainly apologize to you. We weren't able to get to you tonight, but I want to thank all of you all for your comments. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last thought. Want to say anything to wrap it up quickly?
I just quickly say that we all need to find ways to give, not be judgmental, but find ways to give, however we are led to help others.
All right. On that note, we're going to bring you in next Tuesday for the New Year's Eve show. Thanks all of you all for taking time out to be on tonight's broadcast. And listen, I just want to say, have a wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is that you're celebrating.
Happy Kwanzaa, whatever.
Enjoy. Yeah, Happy Kwanzaa. Yeah, thank you for that. Whatever you celebrate, please think about others in this time. And also, you might want to think about what you want to do in terms of helping someone else outside of your immediate family. But listen, thank all of you all for for being on tonight's broadcast. And until this Friday for your inspirational program from 8 to 8:30 or 7 to 7:30. If you can't catch us this Friday, please join us again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, when we'll have a topic. We'll continue to go with part of this, and then we'll introduce a new topic for the new year. Thank you all, and until Friday or until next Tuesday, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
Good night.